born of love and of a sound mind. Amen. That's an awesome time in worship. Welcome to Potter's Hands. Happy Sunday. My name's Doug. I was talking to a couple street guys after the kitchen. I don't usually do that. Usually I like to just get home and lie down for a while. And I was talking to Andrew, who I've known for about 10 years, and who's lost everything because of cocaine, and he's on the street. And another guy named Danny, who has 5 D brothers. And I was just talking to them, and Danny said to me, he said, most of the drug overdoses are poisonings, like from somebody killing them. And I thought, well, that's half of them, he said. I thought, well, that's interesting. And then I was just chatting with him for a while and loving on him and wasn't preaching too much. So I did mention John 3:16. But anyhow, we served about 140 plates yesterday, which is really busy for the first of the month after payday. And there seems to be more and more poor and homeless people wandering around, and seems to be a lot more confusion in the world and a lot more crazy things happening. The weather's going crazy all over and forest fires are burning all over. I wonder if it's a sign. I believe my important announcement this morning is Jesus is coming back soon, yeah. Friends. He really is. Yeah. Are you ready to meet him?
Yes.
What's he going to say to me? What's he going to say to you? You know, well done, good and faithful servant. I was just thinking during worship, what's he going to say to me? Doug, your theology wasn't too bad, you know, being a pre-trib rapturist, but I have this one thing against you. You didn't love the lost as much as I wanted you to, you know? Like, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. Key verse. Anyway, I just want to, just really quick before I get Crystal up here, I just want to teach you a Hebrew word. I learned a Hebrew word last night. It's really good. It's most of us know tetelestai, the last thing Jesus said on the cross when God put all your sin and my sin and probably all the sin of everybody who ever lived and ever will live on him. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The last thing he said was tetelestai, the Bible says, but the Hebrew is kula. Can you say kula?
Kula.
It is finished. It can be translated as completely completed. Kula, he said. It's done, Father. I came, I did everything you want me to do. I bore the sins of the world. Do me a favor, read Hebrews 10. And don't read it as most theologians would tell you to read it. This is a letter written to the Hebrews. No, read it as a love letter to you. God wrote the whole book to you, okay? Like, really. But you do have to read it in context. You should read 7 and 8 before you read 10. And in 10,
what about 9?
It says, therefore, when he came into the world, Hebrews 10, 7. Therefore, I said, it's Jesus, behold, I have come in the volume of the book, in the scroll of the book in the NASB. It is written of me to do your will, O God. And then verse 10, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Wow. How now shall we live? How now shall we live now that he's taken all of our sins, past, present, and future, away? Like, how now shall we live? Like, I sinned again. Oh, no. No, no. We live joyous lives in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Yeah. Praise God. Crystal has an important announcement.
Thank you. Well, two of them. I'm going to sneak two in here. First of all, Women's Retreat. I'm excited. I have on paper 25 people's names. And I only have about, oh, good, they're so good. But I only have like 6 applications filled. And I need these. I want these because for legal reasons. On there is stuff like emergency contact and your phone number. Just in case something would happen, in case we need to phone somebody, we just need to have proof that you're there. And so if any of you need one, please just maybe raise your hand right now. I have some right here in my hand.
Maybe Lynn could pass them out.
Okay. And if you still would like to come, and there's a form there. Grab one, okay? Could you bring him? No, sorry. The other thing is that today is a very important day because we are having a barbecue at our house tonight. And yeah. I'm excited about that too. And we also have, we've been blessed with a bunch of babies in this congregation lately. And so we're going to just have like kind of a group shower. So if you come tonight, Stan and I are going to provide the drinks that you need, the hot dogs or the Smokies and the hamburger patties. We're going to be supplying that for you. So if you could think of like a dessert or a salad that you would like to bring, that would be great. Just to share, something to share. It doesn't have to be tons, but because it'll hopefully be lots of it so we can share. But if you would like to take a gift for a baby, that would be great. We have three girls and a boy that could be there. Okay, the three girls, there's two girls that are just little. There's one little girl right here, Claudia. She's just little. She's like really little. So, and then there's a boy, Matthew, who is young too. He's young, but he's big. So anyway, even if you just brought some diapers or some wipes or something, we're just going to take those gifts and we're going to just divide them up and bless them. We're going to pray for those babies and just include them. So that's all I have to say. Where's Doug? Oh, tonight. 4 o'clock, we can be at our house. There's going to be vans here at
3:30, 3:45.
If you need a ride. And if you don't know how to get to our house and you have a car, just come see us. It's pretty easy. All right? Am I going to pray for you?
I do.
Okay. God, it's been quite a service already this morning, God. And just showing in my heart, God, there's so many wounds here this morning. Father, you are the healer.
Yeah.
You're the healer, and we're just so grateful, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, that you are pouring out into this congregation even today. I just bless you. And God, I just pray for Stan. I just pray that I just lift him up to you, God, that you will give him the words, God, that your Spirit will lead him, that he will speak words of truth. And God, our hearts need to be soft enough to hear those words and to take them in. So I just pray that in the name of Jesus, that even now, Lord, as we continue to worship you, God, that you will soften our hearts, help them be ready to hear the seeds, the words that you're going to put in there. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Newsflash, that's not the first time she's prayed for me. No big surprise, right? Wow, it's good to be here. Isn't that good to worship God? Before I bring the word, just before I preach, just a few things we're going to be praying for. Ted's in the hospital, so we remember you guys, remember Ted. And there's some bleeding. Don't know exactly, but God does. So I want to pray for that, and just we'll all just join to do that. And then also, Kimberly, are you still here? Your aunt passed away. What, this morning? I'm sorry. You guys have been through so much. I'm sorry. Yeah. And her name again?
Sylvia.
I'm going to pray for Sylvia. Let's pray. God, there's so many things that we need to bring before you. It's so great that we can, that you're available and that you know exactly what to do. Thank you for Ted. I'm so thankful for that man. I thank you for the God that I see in him, for his sense of humor and for the way he follows you. As he's in the hospital right now, we would just join our faith together, ask that you'll touch him. Wherever that bleeding is, would you just stop it right now? Put an end to this. Stop it. We declare this. We pray it in Jesus' name. You've told us that signs and wonders will follow the proclamation of your good word. And so we want to pray for our brother, ask that you'll uphold him. Thank you that he is in a good mood and good spirits like always. I just pray, God, that you will put your hand on him and touch him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Pray for Cheryl and for Vicky that you'll encourage them, strengthen them, and build up their faith in Jesus' name. And Lord, for Kim and her family, as they grieve another relative who's passed away, just remember them. You say that you are the God of all comfort and that you've got really big arms. So put your arms around that family and encourage and comfort them. And I pray that you would just welcome Sylvia into your eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Anyone remember I gave you this out last week? Anyone been praying this? Good. Okay. Passed these out. This is sort of a prayer. And again, like this is not some great big heavy theological treatise. This is just some simple little prayer that God laid on my heart about a week and a half ago. Lord, I invite you to lead me today by your Spirit. I choose to follow you. My eyes are open to see where you go. That's it. And I asked you, and I've been trying to do this, I ask you to pray this every day. Put it in your Bible, and just let's pray this prayer every day. Lord, I invite you to lead me by your Spirit today. I choose to follow you. My eyes are open to see where you're going. And some of you have been doing it. Some of you forgot about it. I'm going to encourage you. We're not done with this. We've been on a series of sermons and messages on following Christ. We are Christ followers. You want to define who we are? That's who we are. We are, let's do this wholeheartedly. I'm a follower, right? I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's in essence who I am. That's my identity. When Jesus was on the earth, he walked along, saw different people, and he said, follow me. And what happens is they followed him. Peter and Andrew, James and John, Matthew, follow me, he said to Levi. And what happened? He left the tax collector's booth and he followed Jesus, right? And that's what's happened for a lot of us is we follow Jesus. Maybe there's some of you here today, you're not a Christ follower. You don't know if you're ready for that yet or you haven't made that decision. All right. You know what? This is not for sale. So I don't need to sell this. It's a gift. So you either want to receive it or you don't. And that's a choice you can make. But it's not for sale. It's by grace that we're saved. And God just does. He just says to all, why don't you follow me? And sometimes we go, well, yeah, I'd like that, but I'm following a bunch of other things right now, and I'm kind of busy, and those other things are kind of fun in my life. And God is very patient. He goes, okay, then follow those other things. But I'm calling you to follow me, and if you're willing to follow me, I'm going to show you a life that you can't even imagine how great it is. It's abundant. It's abundant. It's amazing, amazing life. It's good. It's good. And you know, God, he's working. He's moving in us. He's moving in my heart. My prayer, my heart's desire is to be led by the Holy Spirit. I just want the Holy Spirit to lead me. And I am quick to say I'm not particularly good at that. I'm better at just doing what I want to do. I'm better at just following what seems good to me. But that's why that prayer has been important for me. I keep it in my Bible. I pray it every morning. I say, Lord, lead me today by your Holy Spirit. I choose to follow you. My eyes are open. That's a declaration. It ends with that third statement. It's a declaration. My eyes are open to see where you're going. And it's really amazing what happens when we pray that prayer, because then I start to live my life more deliberately. Then I start to walk through the day realizing that it's not just my agenda or my time or what I want to do today. I'm walking through the day with that prayer in my heart saying, God, who's next? Who's next? Who do I get to talk to next? Who do I get to bless? Who might need to be, you know, I need a prayer of healing or just to be told that they can be forgiven. Who's next, God? What do you want me to do? And it's all about listening, right? And that's exciting. And it's exciting for all of us. We're all the body of Christ. You don't need to have a Bible school education to do this. What you need is the Holy Spirit. We just need to be led, right? Yeah. We need to be led. And recognize that my day has a purpose now because God's got a reason for me to walk through this day. He has someone for me to touch, maybe even a word. This happens sometimes. I don't know if you know that or not. Sometimes God gives a word to someone for you. He did this all through history. God has always spoken to his people in supernatural ways. Always. It was that way in the Old Testament. It was that way in the New Testament. It's that way today. He always speaks to us in supernatural ways. And sometimes he does that by giving a word to somebody who comes to me and says, you know what, this is what I think God wants you to hear today. Wow. Yeah. And I know that sometimes seems weird and crazy or whatever, but we just need to be open. And we also need to be discerning. Because sometimes it might not be a word from God at all. It's just they got their own agenda, you know. God has a word for you. He wants me to borrow your truck, and he wants you to say yes. Well, thank the Lord that he also gave me common sense, right? Okay, you get what I'm saying, right? So we're on this track. What does it mean to follow Jesus? When Jesus walked on the earth, he just simply said those two words, follow me. And there was not a lot of discussion. I like that. He didn't say to Peter, listen, I want to explain what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you about all the fun stuff we're going to do. There's going to be great crafts and art and things, and we're going to have, you know, all kinds of revival meetings, and you want to come? He doesn't give him this big, long explanation. He just says, follow me. And today, we follow the Holy Spirit. Of course, that's still following Jesus, but as New Testament, as Spirit-filled believers, we follow the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so, we've already done this for about 4 weeks. I don't know how long it's going to go on for, but we need to learn what this looks like. I need to know how to present this to you. I need to learn myself. But the Bible teaches us that we should be led by the Spirit of God. I'm gonna get into the word in a second, but a recent, not that recent actually, it's quite a while ago already, a number of years ago, 7-8 years ago, George Barna survey asked a question of people who were self-proclaimed Christians. So these are people who would say, yes, I'm a Christian. And they had a bunch of questions, but here's a couple of the questions. The question was, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? A living, actual Holy Spirit. And self-proclaimed Christians, 58% of them said no. They don't. They don't believe in a Holy Spirit. Not if you mean by a Holy Spirit, a spirit who is personal and a spirit. What they said was they believed in a symbol, that the Holy Spirit is a symbol of the presence and the power of God, but not something that's real. Not something that you could actually experience in your life. Those same people, I'm guessing, also said 60%, or it was 58, one of them was 58, one was 60%, it doesn't really matter, I guess. The question was, do you believe in Satan or an enemy or an evil power out there? And 60% or 58% said no. Don't believe in that either. Which kind of makes sense, because if you're not going to believe in the Holy Spirit, you're probably not going to believe in, you know, what they said was, we believe that there is a symbol of power and evil and darkness, but not an actual enemy, right? So why do I bring that up? Because you got to know, if you're going to come here, and if you're going to come here for the next number of weeks, what you probably, I just got to be honest and say, you know what, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I do. I believe that he is alive. I believe that he's living. I believe that he is personal. I believe what John says, that he's not only with us, but he is in us. And I believe that he actually speaks. He's got a voice. So I just think I got to be honest and say, if you don't believe that or you don't want to hear that stuff, you probably don't come. Like, I'm not telling you not to come. I want you to come. But I just want you to know where we're going with this, okay? Like, I believe in a real enemy. I believe that there's an enemy who's at war with us. I believe there's an enemy that wants to steal and kill and destroy. And I just think I need to be honest with you that here's where we're at, and here's what we're going to be learning about. Because here's the thing. You can't be led by the Holy Spirit if you don't really believe in him. You need to believe in him, right? Doesn't that make sense? Like, to me, that's just common sense. If you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, then you will never be led by the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people, in fact, the majority of people who call themselves Christians, who would say that Casper the Friendly Ghost speaks just as clearly as the Holy Spirit, right? Like they don't believe what we're talking about today. It's the same thing for them. So here's the groundwork that I'm trying to lay down for you, is that to be led by the Holy Spirit means that we need to believe in him. We need to believe what it says in the Word of God, you know? Let me share a word from you from John chapter 16. Yeah, I think you have that on the overhead. But if you want to understand what I'm saying here about that this Holy Spirit is personal and that he's got a voice and he's intimate and he lives in me, man, Jesus tells us that so well in John 16, verse 13. And just when you hear this, listen to how intimate and how personal the Holy Spirit is. He says this, But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Stop. That's pretty personal, right? That the Holy Spirit is actually going to guide you. He's going to show you where to go. He's going to give you direction. He's going to say, go this way, don't go this way. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. Does that get you excited? That gets me excited. He will tell you what's going to happen, what's going to come. You're going to have inside trader information here. You're going to know what's happening. It's literally, he doesn't mean this figuratively or metaphorically. He means that he's going to tell you exactly what you need to do and what's going to happen and how it's going to happen if you'll listen to him. Wow. He will tell you what's yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. That's the Holy Spirit that I believe in. He. That's who I believe in. He will take what the Father has given and he will make it known to you. He reveals that. That's awesome news. So, two quick things to say. First of all, you need to believe. You're going to get anything out of these messages about being led by the Holy Spirit, you need to believe in the Holy Spirit. But I want to get even more specific than that. Because there's a lot of people who believe in a Holy Spirit, and they go, oh yeah, there's a Holy Spirit. But he's just some big, huge force. So here's the question today. Is the Holy Spirit that you believe in a force, a power force, or is he a friend? Is he a force or is he a friend? Yeah. I have that picture. I don't know if you want to put that picture on a second. I was looking at that, you know, the idea of a nuclear power site. And that kind of just came and hit me. That's how a lot of times people think about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is just this incredible power source. And then I don't know for sure, I can't say this for sure, whether it was the Holy Spirit who led me to this picture or not. But the first picture I looked at had all these sheep in it. I'm going, there's got to be something really significant about that. So here we have all these sheep, and there's the nuclear power site. And the reason why I put the picture up, because I think that's how a lot of Christians think about the Holy Spirit. He's just this powerful, distant, dangerous, powerful energy source. He's out there. He's a force. And what I want to say to you today is that that's true in a way. There's no end to the power that the Holy Spirit has. But thank the living God that he's so much more than that. Thank the living God that he also lives in me and that he's not just some power source in Ontario, but that, you know, that I was going to bring an extension cord, that I actually got a plug in myself, right? That he's personal. I can plug it in and I can gain the power that I need. He gives me the knowledge that I need. He reveals what I need to have revealed to me. He might warn me about what to do or what not to do. That I have my own little plug in that's intimate. And that my Holy Spirit actually has a voice. If you just think of him as a force, there's no voice. He's just some huge, powerful force out there. But my Holy Spirit has a voice, and he speaks in my ear, in my heart. And that's really what this is all about when we talk about being led by the Holy Spirit. He is, he's not the universe. He's not. It's kind of, I want to give one more quick example, but there was a funeral this weekend for Aretha Franklin, who was a great singer, and a lot of people had loved and adored her. She's known as the Queen of Soul, and they had this huge funeral for her. And this is a good and a bad illustration, so I'm just going to make this really clear, because it's a bad illustration because I'm going to compare her to God, and she doesn't compare to God at all, so I put that disclaimer in. But here's the thing. There's some things about her that kind of reminded me of what I'm trying to teach you about the Holy Spirit, because there's most people who knew Aretha Franklin didn't know her. They just knew her music, right? They knew the songs, and they loved her music, and they bought her music. But most people didn't know her intimately. Most people didn't have her phone number. Most people didn't know where she lived. I heard and I read about her, and I read that the people who were really closest to her, they called her Auntie Riri. I was just thinking about that she did have people who were close to her, and the ones who really knew her called her Auntie Riri because they knew her intimately, they knew her personally. And that's kind of what I'm trying to say about the Holy Spirit, that he's not just way out there. He's not just some superstar or someone who's far, far away that you never get to visit or never get to have a coffee with. The Holy Spirit is like Auntie Riri, if you know him. Does that make any sense? If not, we'll just move on. It's okay. That's okay. That's okay. The point of it is we have access to an intimate relationship, with the Holy Spirit. He actually lives in my heart, and I'm learning what that is like. I wasn't raised with this kind of crazy theology. I was not raised to believe that the Holy Spirit might direct me in this way, or that he might have a specific word, or that he might tell me to go to this person on a particular day and just say, hey, is there anything I can do for you? Can I pray for you? Or do you need healing? Because I don't know what you need, but God's laying you on my heart to pray for you. This week it actually happened that my wife and I were having a call with somebody, and it was a FaceTime call. And I just got this sense from God where he said, there's something wrong in her life. There's something that she's really troubled. She's hurting. She's really lonely. I just knew it. I could just feel. I could feel like I was being led by the Spirit. So I did the absolutely right thing to do. I sent my wife to go visit her. Okay, so I might have blown part of it, but it was right though. She needed to talk to this was a woman, and she talked to her. And but it was another just example. I'm trying to live this way, and Crystal is as well. And she went and prayed, and went and just asked her some simple questions. Are you okay? Are you all right? Are you struggling? Do you have friends? How can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? Open your Bibles to the book of Acts. If you were questioning Acts chapter 8, verse 26, if you're questioning if this is legitimate in the Word of God, man, it's so legitimate. And I can't even get into it right now. I was going to, but there's a number of places in the book of Acts where the Spirit tells specifically Paul and Barnabas. He tells them, no, you go here. Sometimes he says, no, don't go here. He tells them, he warns them of things that are going to happen. And I'll give you those on another date, another opportunity when I get to preach. But here's a story about Philip and the Ethiopian. I want you to hear this word, because this is what means to be led by the Holy Spirit. And here's what it says. Now, so I'm reading from Acts chapter 8, verse 26. You can put the sheep away. Okay. Okay, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, by the way, that's how God works. So, you know, whether through the Spirit, or maybe it's in your spirit, or maybe it's an angel who just actually speaks and says, here's an opportunity, here's something I want you to do. Angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, stop there. You see that? The Spirit told the same, by the way, same Holy Spirit, right? Not a different guy who lives today. Same Holy Spirit. The Spirit told Philip, hey, go to that chariot and stay near it. So Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. Well, how can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. And the eunuch was reading this passage of scripture from Isaiah. That he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He's talking about Jesus, right? In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch from Ethiopia asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began, and with that very passage of scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. He told him the good news about Jesus. There's more. I know he goes out and he gets baptized, and we're going to have a baptism service, by the way, in a couple weeks, so we'll have a chance to talk about that a little bit more. But there's six things that I want to just point you to this morning in just a little bit of a brief time that we have left to try to help you understand what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. This is one of the best examples I think we have in the scripture of someone who's obedient to the Holy Spirit. Don't you agree? He's so in tune with the Holy Spirit. Somehow he's hearing and he's experiencing and he's feeling in his heart where the Spirit is leading him. And so I want you just to kind of focus on with me on six things that are happening in this story. The first is that he follows instructions. To be led by the Spirit means that we follow instructions. And how it usually works, and this is how it usually works in my life, and it's how it works in this story, is you don't get the whole picture. You get one page of instructions first. Here you go. Do this. And sometimes I got questions. Yeah, but what about after that? I said, don't worry about that. I'll tell you that tomorrow. You get one, you know, like the Holy Spirit is not Google Maps. Right? Where he gives you the whole direction. Here you go. You're going to go this way, and then you're going to end up here. He doesn't do that. He says, go south on the road from Gaza to Jerusalem, period. What do you mean? Like, why would I go down that road? Like, I got other things to do. I don't know anyone down that road. Why do you want me to go down the road from Gaza to Jerusalem? Because I told you to. And so he obeyed him. So first thing, you got to follow instructions. You got to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. You need to be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. And you may not get the whole picture. Right? You get the picture, the piece of the picture that you need for right now. And when you're obedient to that, and it's as you go, and you know how true that is, right, in the scripture. As we go, and as we walk, and as we're obedient, and as we're faithful, he starts to input the next thing. Okay, now you can do this, and now you can go, and it's not, you see that person, there's someone else that you can, here's where I'm leading you. But he doesn't always give us the whole picture, and that's probably for good reason, because if he gave us the whole picture, we would probably say, forget that. I'm not doing that. That's too scary, right? So there's the first thing. Follow instructions. The second thing is expect an opportunity. I'm learning to go through the day now expecting an opportunity. That if I pray that prayer and I lay myself down, I surrender to God, say, you lead me today by your Holy Spirit. I choose to follow you. There's going to be an opportunity. There's going to be an opportunity, but you have to expect it. You have to look for it. You have to ask that question throughout the day. Well, now what, Lord? Why are you bringing me here? Why am I know that I'm supposed to go down this road, but for what reason? There will be an opportunity. There really will be. There will be somebody, if you pray that prayer, there will be somebody that comes along your way throughout that day who needs you for that specific reason. Do you believe that? It's true. Yeah. Yeah. Can I sit down? Can you stand up? Here, you know what? It's important we hear you.
Yeah, okay. I'm actually just telling this story today just to encourage myself because I woke up this morning. I wasn't feeling very well, but I got it. And so I was a little bit down just because I've been struggling with a bit of physical issues. But I was reminded of what happened earlier this week, and so my heart was encouraged. And what happened was I've been praying that prayer too, and this is kind of neat. The other night, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and the sirens were going off and everything else like that, and there was a fire about 2 blocks away from me. And I could hear the fire engine guys talking and the fire chief on radios and all that, so I thought, and I was having trouble sleeping, so I got up and I drove over there to have a look to see what was going on. And they had everything blocked off, so. But the next day, I was thinking, oh, I should go deposit this. Now I'm 65, so I was going to deposit some money that the government had given me. And I was thinking, oh, right on, you know, I'm getting money from the government. That's awesome. And all I was thinking about was what I was able to receive. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, as soon as I was thinking that, the Holy Spirit said to me, it's better to give than to receive. And instead of going back to deposit this check or whatever it was I was going to do, I said, no, the Holy Spirit says, no, I don't want you to do that right now. And so I drove by the house where it had burned down, and I had $40 cash in my pocket, and I was thinking about those people, and I was thinking, like, man, it must be like the wilderness for those people, and I'm thinking 40 years, and I got $40. So I felt the Lord say to me, just stop and go ask if the owner's around today, because it was all these cleanup people cleaning everything up, restoration. So, yeah, they said yes. So they went and got the lady. She was down in the basement, and she came out, and I said to her, and I don't know this lady. I mean, she's in my neighborhood, but I don't really know her. I don't recognize her. She doesn't know me. But I just said to her, I said, you know, I just felt like I was supposed to come and give you this $40. Wow. So that you can at least go out for supper. I know it's not much, but I said, and she started to weep.
Wow.
And then she wanted a hug. So wow. I held her, and I prayed for her right there. And I prayed for her, and she said, you don't know how much I needed that today.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, and that claps not for me. That claps for the Lord, because yeah, he wants to do that for every one of us. I mean, there are so many needs out there. And we just have to be listening and say, Lord, and not be afraid. You know, be bold. Very few people will say no if you ask them if you can pray for them.
That's right.
So I'm just sharing that just to tie in with your message.
No, man. So what he said, like, that's it. That's perfect, right? Amen. Let's go home. No, it's not quite. Exactly, right? So there's opportunities. God, you know, I think we miss those opportunities. So often we're busy, too busy. We're distracted. We're doing all these other things. We've got all these agendas and things. You know, we got our phone and we got our remote control. We got all these things that we put in our hands. And we're missing the opportunities that God is laying before us. And they are there. That's the second thing. Third thing is expect the unexpected. One of the things that's very interesting about the story about Philip is that he was told to go down the road, and he was obedient. And then he was told, okay, now I want you to speak to this Ethiopian eunuch who is a high-ranking official in charge of the whole treasury of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. Are you kidding me? Like, can I not just share gospel with just some other guy? Like, not only, I mean, you understand, like, this was somebody, if we look at this story, this was unexpected. Like, you don't share Christ with someone who's a high-ranking official, who's in the charge of the treasury of maybe millions of dollars, and who's in a chariot, by the way. Right? I mean, he's going down the road, and you can't catch up to him. Like, you don't, like, I know what I would do. I'm walking down the road, and I'm seeing this Ethiopian in a chariot, and they're flying down the road, and I'm going to wait for the next person, right? This can't be the one. That's what I would think of. You must not mean this Ethiopian guy. This is someone from a different country, someone who's very powerful, someone who's in a chariot, and he's going the wrong direction. Come on. Like, there's just some simple other person. Let me meet that person. And he would have missed the opportunity to share Christ if he would have just justified all of that away, right? Or rationalized it all away. Instead, he's obedient to Christ. He's obedient to the Holy Spirit who tells him, now you go and talk to that person. So I want you to know this today, because this is something that we all need to learn. If we're going to be a church led by the Spirit, then we ought to be aware that there's going to be some pretty amazing things that are going to happen. And they're going to be things you don't expect. That's true. I've heard some of you give me stories about, I see Jerry Hunt here, he's told me some stories about him sitting down with his doctor. And I think a lot of times we think, well, you know, the doctor's supposed to examine me, but I think, I know some of you, when you see the doctor, you're examining the doctor and pointing to Jesus, you know, just pointing your way to Christ, pointing your way to healing. I've heard lots of stories like that. And you know what? Doctors are fair game. And so are rich people, and so are people that you think you're in no position to share Christ with. Those are exactly the people to share Christ with. That's it, right? So expect, don't be afraid. Don't think that, well, it's just lonely, it's just poor little old me. Why would anyone want to listen to me? Well, it's because it's not about you, it's about the Holy Spirit speaking through you, right? And you'd be surprised sometimes how some very powerful people have turned to Jesus because of some very insignificant people who have been willing to share with them the story that Jesus has meant in their life. You understand that? So that's really important. We look for opportunities, but more than that, look to be surprised. And don't think you're not worthy, or don't think that you can't share Christ with someone who's highfalutin and got lots of money and there's a city official or whatever they are. Man, they're just ripe for the picking. So, right? Fourth, if we read this story carefully, the Holy Spirit confirms his own word. He confirms it again. When we get to the point, he's on his way home, this Ethiopian was sitting in his chariot, and he's reading the book of Isaiah, and the Spirit told Philip, so the Spirit tells Philip again. First it's the angel, now the Spirit again is. Now go to that chariot and stay near it. And I bring that one up because it's about confirmation. Confirmation is important, and God confirms his word. He might do, especially if it's something that, you know, is a big deal or a big decision that you need to make, or you're a little not sure about if this is really from God, you should have spiritual mentors or people around you that you can ask that question, or you can simply ask God sometimes and say, God, is this really what you want? I just want, you know, a little confirmation here. Should I actually be getting in the chariot with this guy? Is this even safe? You know? So it's really simple, and I know this whole message is simple, but it's about confirmation, and that it's okay to ask the Holy Spirit, now what? I'm here, I'm alongside the chariot, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Do I say anything? Sometimes I need to say nothing. Do you want me to climb into the chariot or not? Just show me. And we have a God who is the Holy Spirit who lives in us who will show us. And it's okay to ask for that confirmation. Sometimes it's actually important to ask for that confirmation and to just do what he says, which is exactly what happens in this story. He's obedient. Philip is so obedient. And he's so in tune with the Holy Spirit. He listens to the word of the Holy Spirit that is inside of him. And he does exactly what the Spirit asks him to do. And so Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard a man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? And here's the fifth thing. Are you ready for this? Here's the fifth one. Wait for the invitation. There will be an invitation. Just wait. Some of you aren't good at waiting, including me. We want to jump ahead. We want to get this thing, you know, we want to lock this down. We want to get this guy to sign on the bottom line that he's a Christian. So we're in there, you know, we're in there. Just want to make this happen. Come on, come on. Wait, just wait. Wait for the invitation. You might need to stand by that chariot wheel for a while and just look with that dumb look on your face. Don gets what I'm talking about there. Right? You just got to wait. Sometimes you just got to wait and just shut. Just be quiet. Just wait. And the question will come. What do I got? What does this mean? You know? I don't understand. If someone doesn't explain this to me, I'll never get it. And you got to listen for the question. And it's not always going to be, by the way, a question where the guy says, I need to be saved. Who's going to save me? You're not always going to get that question. But there will be a question in his or her remarks. They'll be at entry point. Okay? You follow that? There'll be a place where you can step in and gently and kindly and carefully point to Jesus. That's what we got to wait for, because that's how the Holy Spirit leads us. We don't come in smacking left and right with our Bibles, right? No. Sorry, Douglas. We do not do that. We wait. Just wait, because it's way more effective when the Spirit leads us and we don't jump ahead of him. Remember, the Bible says that we are to walk in the Spirit, not run in the Spirit. Right? Walk, just walk. And wait for the question. I've done this in the right way sometimes. I've done this in the wrong way sometimes. But the most effective times that I've had in my life of sharing Christ have been when I've been patient and when the question has come from that person. What do I got to do here? How do I get clean? Is God real? Like, why does God do this to me? Those are still a question. Wait for the question. Why doesn't God love me? Yeah. And you wait. You wait, and it gives you an opportunity to point the way to Jesus. And that's the last thing. that I want you to notice today. Again, I think this is just so vitally important if we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. What does Philip do? And I don't think you could put this any more simply. He told him the good news about Jesus. Period. Right? Philip is in the chariot. He's got Isaiah. He's opening it up. Philip, the Ethiopian says to Philip, who is this guy even talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? And I want you to get this. And Philip goes, well, let me tell you about Jesus. And he told him the good news about Jesus. So here's some advice. When you get the opportunity to get into someone's chariot, don't start explaining about the Trinity. Right? Don't give the subtle differences between justification and sanctification. Don't start there. Just share the good news about Jesus. Just share the good news about Jesus. Like, this Ethiopian didn't need to have a whole theology lesson on infant baptism or whatever it is. He just needed to be loved. He needed to be told that this Isaiah was speaking about Jesus who would be born 800 years later and that Jesus died for him. Man, that's it. That's it. If you get that done, that's all you got to do. You don't need to worry about all the rest of it or whether his theology is correct or straight. That will happen. Don't worry about it. I love this line that says that he just told him the good news of the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's good. It is not something for us to fight about. Right? I mean, we've taken it as fight news. I'm right. And those Baptists are wrong. You know, it is not about that. It is about good news. If you walk away from a situation where God, through his Holy Spirit, has led you to present Christ, and you had the question asked of you, what do I got to do here? Or whatever the question is. And if you have not spoken about the good news of Jesus, you've missed the point. You missed the mark. And that's really the message today is here's what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit is a he. That picture we had of the nuclear site, that's an it. That's just a big it. The Holy Spirit is a he. Read John. Read the Gospel of John over and over again. He, when he lives in you. When he speaks to you, right? The Holy Spirit's a he. And he, and I believe this with all my heart, he is trying to lead us as a church and to lead us as individuals in very specific ways. He says, I want you to go to your neighbor. If you're listening to me, you'll go and you'll bring $40. You'll do whatever I ask you to do. If you'll just listen, I'm gonna show you some exciting things that I'm going to bring you places that you never would go on your own. Because that's who I am and I live in you. I live in you. That's good. So, kind of like last Sunday when at the end, you know, I'm all done preparing and I've prayed and I think, okay, I'm ready to go to church. I pray this prayer again. So, okay, now what, God? So, what do you want to say? If you're going to lead me today and you are, then now what? What would you say to us as we hear your word? What is it that we need to hear from you, God, so that we're not just going through an intellectual exercise here, but we're really being led. And the word that I got from God was a word about fear. So I want to end on this note. And it kind of ties in. I mean, there was a weird moment this morning. And, you know, the enemy, he uses fear, and he rattles us sometimes, and he throws rocks. He throws rocks sometimes. I want to just speak to you today who are struggling with fear in your lives. Because fear inhibits us and stops us sometimes from being led by the Spirit. Because I know I've been there before. I've been on that road from Jerusalem to Gaza, and I've seen the opportunity, and I've gone, yeah, I think I'll just go with that, right? I don't need that. My life is complicated enough. I don't need some Ethiopian in it, right? Like, I don't mean that in any terrible way. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I've got to be careful how I'm saying. I really didn't mean to be offensive with that. So I meant some anybody. I don't need some anybody bothering up my life. Because my life, you know, like people are complicated. Anyways, I'm going to move on because I didn't mean it in a bad way. I didn't mean it in a bad way. And if you took it, I repent of that. The point is, I rattled myself here, that the enemy uses fear, right? Lotus, let me just use my own example. When I think about Lotus, and we got another major worship service happening there on Sunday, and our prayer is that building will be turned into a place that, Friday, thank you. See, I'm rattled. I told you I'm rattled. I just proved it. So we're gathering together the church. We're gathering together to be united. We're coming to worship on Friday at 7 o'clock, and we're praying that this may be, that the Spirit may lead us in such a way that this might be a place where people might find life, that they might find recovery, that they might get clean from the addictions, and knowing that that's such a huge need in our city. So, you know, I know that God's laid that on my heart. I know that he's so into this with me. But I'll be honest with you, there's things about Lotus that just frighten me. And there's a part of me, and I'm just trying to be honest here today, there's a part of me that goes, you know, forget this. I don't need this in my life. I don't need what people think of me or what, you know, I don't need the chit-chat. I don't need the extra work here. Let's be done with this. Like, I don't want, you know, I'm afraid of all the stuff that kind of goes with it, if you can understand that. And I was never going to tell this story, but I'm going to tell it. When we bought Lotus, I knew real clearly, because the Spirit can be very clear. I knew that the Spirit told me and a couple partners to buy this thing. And I didn't know what for, but I was very, very clear. Part of it was my wife was in my ear going, yes, yes, this is the Spirit of God, yes. So and I'm learning to listen to her, yeah. Anyway, I don't want to make this a long story, but this is really a strange. 2 days later, 3 days later, a group of four people wanted to have lunch with me and my son. And he said, we want to meet with you because we have a really great idea for this. We've got a plan for this place, and we have a lease we want to offer you. And it's like literally less than a week after we took possession of it, we sat down in a restaurant, and they gave us their plan, and they wanted to open this really highfalutin nightclub. And it would have been financially an amazing thing. But it was absolutely the wrong thing. It was clearly what God didn't want us to do. What am I trying to say? I'm just saying, but there's a part of me that goes, well, that would be one way to get rid of all this fear. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need all this bother and the worries and the finances and all that other stuff. And I could have attributed it to God. Saying, this must be God, you see. These four people are going to open up a big bar. Must be the Holy Spirit, right? But no. So here, what am I saying is if you're afraid, it's okay. You don't need to be afraid. And I'm speaking to myself. Don't worry about what people think. Don't worry about your reputation. Don't worry about the things that terrify you. Maybe it's your health or your family or the situation you're in. And I want to pray for you this morning about this. And if you have that song, you can just start putting that song on about, we sang this earlier, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Can we just, you know, accept that. We're not going to sing it right off the bat here, but we're just going to ask this. And here's why. Because it takes courage to be led by the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. It takes real courage to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's easier to just do nothing. It's easier to not stand up when he says stand up. It takes courage. And I'm believing that God, through his Holy Spirit, is saying to me today, earlier in the day, he says, I want you to tell them to be courageous. Be bold. Don't give up. I'm with you. Here's what he's saying. This is a prophetic word to you. I'm with you. And when I call you to do something that takes courage, I will equip you with the courage to do what you need to do. I will. It is not you who is doing anything here. It's me. Be strong. Be courageous. It's a fight. It's a fight. You can fight this fight. Be strong. Be strong. What do you tell me all the time? Hold the line, right? Hold the line. Hold the line. You text me, we call, we say that to each other, right? Hold the line, Earl. Just hold the line. And if you don't think you got the courage, you don't think he'll give it to you. Every day he'll give it to you. Anyone here today needing courage? I'm going to ask you to stand up right now. Just stand. Maybe as you listen to the message, you think about one person in particular that you've been afraid to talk to. We're going to ask God to fill us with the courage and the boldness that we need. Just lift up your hands to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we ask you today that as you pour your Spirit upon your body, your church, that you will also equip us right now with the courage and with the boldness that we need. And we declare today that we know the truth. We know the truth that the enemy is a liar, and that when we resist him, he will flee from us. And so we see his back end as he leaves right now. Yeah. He's gone. He has no right. And the fear that he has used to incapacitate us, we recognize, we acknowledge it, and we speak against it in Jesus' name. Empower your people, God. And I pray for those who are struggling right now with specific things. There's people here today. There's something specific that you're afraid about, or maybe you're afraid of. I want you to know that God says, this is not your enemy. You do not need to be afraid, and I am with you. I am with you. And you are more than what? You are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. Amen. Lift your hands. Thank you, God. We receive your power right now in Jesus' name. We receive your power in Jesus' name. We are going to have a new and a fresh boldness. And we are going to see the opportunities that you lay out before us. And we will not be afraid. Because you lead us. And as long as you lead, God, we're not afraid where we're going. Even when we don't know where we're going. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just hang on for 1 minute, okay? Because I was getting something from the Lord, and I'm missing it now. Just hang on. Give me a minute, okay? Just pray. Just pray. Oh, shit. What do you want? Thank you. That's awesome. Here's what it is. There's 10 minutes left. You've paid till 12, so you got 10 more minutes. I have a nephew who's a dentist. When he went to dental school, he told me this. He said, we'd have to practice on each other. So So we take turns sitting in a chair, and then one day you'd get the needle, and the next day you'd give your needle to the guy who gave it to you yesterday, and then start working on each other's teeth. Why am I saying that? Because we need to work on each other. We need to practice here. It needs to begin here. If we can't pray for each other, if we can't be led by the Spirit to encourage each other, or maybe to bring a word, here's a word that God has I want you to know from God. If we can't do that with each other, we're never going to be able to do that at Tim Hortons or at the mall or at the kitchen or wherever we're going to be doing that. So here's what we're doing. And again, you're not comfortable with this, that's okay. You keep coming, you'll get comfortable with this. It's going to happen. I'm going to invite you after the blessing to say to somebody, maybe it's the person next to you, maybe it's someone in the back, but we've done this before. How can I pray for you? Or maybe you already know, you have something specific. You just know, I don't need to even do that. I have a word for that person here. I know, I want to encourage you. So we got 10 minutes. Let the Spirit lead. Let's just not only, isn't this something, not just talk about being led. Let's actually be led and encourage someone here today or pray for someone here today or speak some truth. There are some people here today, listen, who are really hurting. They're really lonely. They don't have a lot of friends. The Lord told me earlier today, he said, you know, there are some people who are going to be here today. You don't need, and you need to hear this too. It's not just that you need your life fixed. You've been wanting your life fixed for a long time. But here's what God would say to you today. I don't want to just fix your life. I want to give you a whole new life. A whole new life. We've done way too much of fixing and putting Band-Aids on, and I really believe that God is saying, I don't want to put any more Band-Aids on you. We've done enough of that. I want to give you a whole brand new life, and that old life is completely gone. So if you're feeling that today and you just want to commit yourself to Christ, and I know Tim and Crystal will come down here, maybe Alvin, you'll come to the front. This is just for people who want to do that. You just want to have a brand new life. You're tired. Come on up, you guys. Just come on up. I want to give my life to Christ. I need a brand new life. So receive the blessing. Put your hands up. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Okay, hold on a minute. I'm hearing a lot of amens. But they're all coming from one side of the church. I'm not saying what side. Let's do this one more time. May the Lord bless you. Amen. May the Lord keep you. Amen. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Amen. And give you his peace. Amen. 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 Pray for someone.